You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. This week is jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf, and DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front row seat to all the action. Making a lineup for DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Just draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, and then sit back and watch your points pile up. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 2, Episode 25, as the New York Rangers defeat the Buffalo Sabres 3-2 to get two more points and, you know, kind of stay in the mix in the Mass Mutual division. And Andy, I have to ask you before we get going, how are you doing?
Doing good. Happy the Rangers got the win last night, no matter how sloppy it may have been. It's good to see that clearly their luck is turning around a little bit. They get Filip Hedl back. Lafreniere is actually, finally, you know, he's got things going in his favor again. He gets the easiest goal he'll ever score, but you have to, you know, based on how things have gone for him, it's nice for him to actually be, you know, on the fortuitous side of luck. So it's just kind of everything evening itself out, because he's definitely should have more points by now. But it looks like Mika is found a gear last night, so he had a good game. Buchnevich, same thing. Kreider scores a goal, so our top six actually does something. Put on a nice performance for a prospective potential future New York Ranger, which I'm sure we'll get into. And yeah, we hopefully Kako will be back for this next game, and we can, you know, hopefully Panarin not soon after that, and we can finally try to get some traction under the feet of this team, because you could see that they're, yeah, it seems to things seem to be going their way. Igor's playing good enough to give them a chance to win, and it would be a shame if they didn't just take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, looking at this game coming into it, we said it was pretty much a must win for the New York Rangers. They had Buffalo, and then they have Devils coming up twice in a row. So it was, you know, imperative for them to, you know, get out early, get a jump on this team and kind of just bury them. But, you know, the first few minutes was kind of a wild ride there, where that, you know, they were trading off goals just to keep it interesting. And unfortunately, I passed out. And like, you know, Andy, right now, my brain is pretty much, I think, how the New York Rangers played, where I'm going to be able to get this done, but it might not be pretty. But, you know, you have to win hockey games at this level, and no game is easy. So, you know, touche for beating the Buffalo Sabres and grabbing 2 points, which we said were, 2 points that we had to have. I didn't get a chance to actually watch. I listened to a majority of the game on the radio driving home. How would you say that the Rangers, you know, played after that kind of wild start? Like, were they able to, you know, kind of reel it in and play their game, dictate the style that they, you know, wanted to, you know, press against the Buffalo Sabres?
It's funny, because I really don't think the Rangers played well defensively until the last half of the third period, right after Buffalo put themselves within one. So the rest of the game was kind of wide open. They're trading chances, some sloppy breakdowns here and there. But the goaltending was good. Igor was good. I can't say the same about Hutton. I thought some of those goals were a little, I don't know what its positioning was. You know, I thought Igor, for the most part, did everything he could on the goals. You know, hit some weird bounces on one, just a well-placed pass in the other. But yeah, I mean, the Rangers looked pretty confident sitting on that lead with the third winding down, you know, and especially Buffalo trying to get the extra man with the net pulled. You know, Igor goes for two empty nets. Unfortunately, one gets blocked, I think, by Dahlin, and then the other one, I don't know if it's not far enough or whatever, but he's going to get one day. And
if he scored there, do you think Buffalo would pack it in, like, for the season?
I would. If I'm Buffalo, or if I'm Michael, I would just take my stuff from the stall and visitors and just move it to the
or just get off the ice with the Rangers.
Yeah, just wouldn't come back. I mean,
yeah,
you know. As obviously we're a Rangers podcast, so we've been focused on what's going on with Mika and this and that. But I got to tell you, Eichel, I know, you know, there's claims that he's suffering from a shoulder injury, but, you know, he was dangerous here and there, but not much. Taylor Hall was a ghost. I only noticed him because he was falling down on the ice all the time. So I didn't notice him at all, which was bad. You know, you want to notice your superstars, even if they're playing bad, they should have that, because Taylor Hall usually has a thing, you know, it's Taylor Hall, you should pop, you should be a little bit faster than everyone else. But, you know, honestly, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I thought Jeff Skinner was probably one of the only players I noticed in a positive way for them at times last night. You know, him, Victor Olofsson, Dahlin on breakout passes, but other than that, it was a whole lot of, yeah, just kind of their superstars definitely were no shows for this one. So, and the Rangers were lucky because their top six was going. Kreider scores off a goal. He doesn't even know how he scored it, but it was nice. You know, he scored from the left side coming down just with that wrist shot far post a few times. And it's a tough shot, but, you know, especially he uses the Buffalo defender as a screen. And yeah, I'd like to see him do more of that. You know, he tries it sometimes and it's high and wide, but yeah, it was a well-placed shot, and I definitely cut Carter Hutton by surprise. But, yeah, it's nice to see the Rangers' top six actually showed up. And like I said, Lafreniere looks better and better every game. And, yeah, Hedl, even though you can tell there might be a little rust, he, in terms of his wind, he was good. He was as good as he needed to be. He's still one of the faster Rangers on the ice every time he's on the ice. So once he gets back into the swing of things, and he'll definitely be he'll definitely hopefully get back to the point he was right before he went down, because obviously you remember how he's still so good at helping the Rangers maintain possession with his size and speed and winning 50-50 battles. So, yeah, you can definitely tell that when they're fully staffed with the way things seem to be going now, that they've kind of have ironed out some of the wrinkles in their game, that it should be good. But, yeah, I say should because ever knowing this team, that might not be the case.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we have Kako out, we have Panarin still out. I don't know if he's listed day-to-day or anything like that, or what's the update status there. I have no idea. I haven't really heard anything.
Kako was taken off the COVID list, I believe, the day of the game. So he still has another thing. I think he has to test positive once, but I think he should be able to come back for, you know, Thursday. I assume the Rangers...
Well, they also probably want him to get a couple practices.
Well, they want him to get a skate in as well. So we'll see if you're listening to this Thursday morning, we'll see if we see him on the ice tonight. I'm not really sure. And obviously the league and David Quinn plays stuff like this pretty close to the vest. So we'll see. But I assume our beat writers, they'll probably talk to Quinn sometime in the early afternoon, and we should have our answer. So we'll see. Or maybe not. Maybe it's vague. I don't know. But he's definitely a possibility. And yeah, still no word on Panarin other than that David Quinn says he talks to him daily and that it's day to day. You know, it's something that doesn't really have a timeline. It's not an injury, you know what I mean? And they're obviously not going to air the particulars of what's going on, as they shouldn't with Panarin. So, you know, who knows what personal measures he's taking to ensure what's going on is dealt with in the way that's best for him and his family. So, yeah, we're probably not going to know until he's looked back and they'll say he's back on the ice and, you know, he's going to get a few skates and just get back up to speed, but we'll see. But yeah, hopefully Kako can be in, because I think the Rangers will could definitely use him. And now that Lafreniere is going, once everyone's healthy, the dream of seeing Hedl, Kako, Lafreniere still lives on in my mind. So
yeah, well, let's get into that, because I feel like Quinn has his work cut out for him. You know, when Kako and Panarin eventually return to the lineup, there's going to be obviously two guys that are need to be sat. So, you know, I feel like there's two answers to this question. It's number one, who do you think should be sitting? And number two, who will Quinn sit? Because I feel like they're going to be two different answers.
Yeah, he should sit Brett Howden. I mean, easiest thing I've ever had to answer. Like, he should sit Brett Howden. Who will he sit? Brodzinski or Gauthier, probably. Maybe even Brendan Lemieux. I'm not even sure. It's one of those things where, you know, I mean, or but I don't know, or even potentially DiGiuseppe. It should basically be Howden, but he's the one who I know he won't sit.
Well, there'll be a number two there. There'll be a second guy sitting. Like,
yeah, it'll be any one of those two bottom six guys except Brett Howden. I'm telling you right now, he'll find a spot for Howden.
Well, even Julien Gauthier, he really likes to. I think feel like he pulls the trigger with him often, just benching him. I know he, you know, had some rough games defensively, and you know it's tough to, he can't be trusted. But you know, if you have a game that's, you know, is going to be physical, like against the New Jersey Devils, where you're going to want to get the puck behind their defenseman and play a physical game in the corners.
Yeah. Well, there's peaks and valleys to Gauthier's game right now, and the peaks are obviously good peaks. You see he draws a lot of penalties with his size and his speed, and he can forecheck well, and he can actually make things happen in a positive way. But yeah, that comes at a cost sometimes as he's trying to figure things out. But you know, we've had enough of a sample size to know that when Brett Howden's on the ice, absolutely nothing happens except that the Rangers slowly get caved in, you know, quality wise, and offense dies on a stick. So if you have no chance of scoring with him on the ice, and even his own individual defensive metrics aren't all that great, I just don't see what, you know, why, you know, I see why Rooney's a good faceoff guy. And he's good defensively. He's maybe not the greatest offensively, but he's definitely better defensively than those two. So I could definitely see the merits of keeping him in. Blackwell has been a revelation for the Rangers this year, so you have to keep him in. And yeah, DiGiuseppe is there, but at the same time, it's like I don't know if he's really, I don't know. He's just another guy.
He had a hot start.
He had a hard start. But at the same time, I wouldn't be upset if he sat, but at the same time, it's like, you know, if you see someone who struggled, like a Howden, or hell, even I think Brendan Lemieux has really kind of struggled at times this season. Just hasn't really had the same impact he's had in his previous two seasons here. So, it looks like he's trying though. I do like when he's on the ice, he is heavy on the forecheck and he's trying to make things happen with his speed. He looks noticeably faster, does Brendan Lemieux. But it just, yeah, unfortunately, the quality of his line mates at times, those three, when you have three guys of that caliber on the ice, not much is going to happen, you know?
Right. But, you know, I don't know, Andy. There's a lot of questions when, you know, that I ask myself when I look at, you know, our bottom six, right? And yeah, one of the questions is, did you actually expect them to produce? And like, to what extent is acceptable for, let's just say, a season resume for Brett Howden? Like, how many points is he like actually projected? And I know you're an analytics guy, but and I know I'm putting you on a spot to answer like a specific question. But if you're Quinn and you're analyzing, you know, your roster right now, where should a player like Brett Howden be? Because, you know, in the beginning of the season, we kind of penciled him in as maybe a fourth line center. Obviously, we had some, you know, players that we also, you know, put in for the fourth line, and they're playing, you know, above themselves, like a Blackwell. You know, where do you want Howden to be? Like, what should he be producing? Like, where do the analytics say that he should be better at?
Well, you know, analytic, if you look at his underlying numbers, it's definitely, he's, you know, he has 2 points in 20 games, and that's not far off because he's just not good. But I mean, you know, he had 23 points in his rookie season. I think, didn't Derek Stepan assist on his, no, that was Jimmy Vesey. Jesus, my memory is mush. Sorry. But yeah, I mean, you know, Quinn has always clearly had a soft spot for him. So he's been given good minutes the past two seasons. So he had 23 in his rookie year in 66 games. He had 19 in 70. So you figure, at least, all right, he should be around a 20-point guy, but he's got 2 and 20 right now. So, yeah, he's clearly nowhere on pace to match that. And, you know, and in fairness, they've obviously given up on the fact that he's most likely not a top 6 forward. So he's playing mostly fourth line and bottom 6 minutes. So obviously that's going to affect his ice time, and that's also going to affect, his how many points he can put up. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, I think you'd want to see at least 15 points on a season, you know, even in this, in, you know, maybe not in this season, the shortened season, but you'd hope to see some, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 range for him. But I just don't think it's going to happen. And that's the thing. I think you want your bottom six to, one of your bottom six to chip in a goal every game. You know, any gaggle of, you know, of the bottom six, just one of them to have a goal. So, or one of them or two of them will get an assist on it. And just at the end, they're all kind of floating in that, whatever, that, you know, between the 10 to 20 point range, and you're kind of happy with it. But yeah, I don't think we're going to get that from Brett. And I just think the more time that goes on, it just kind of shows that he's kind of always, I think he's out of his depth in the NHL. It's sad, because I don't think it's not that he doesn't have, I think he's got NHL size. I think he's got NHL speed. He's got bottom six hands, but I think his hockey IQ is not NHL. He's got AHL IQ. I just think he processes the game. It comes at him too fast, and he can't settle the puck down, and he can't make plays. And that's, I think, what it comes down to, you know?
Yeah, no. And if you look at, you know, the last 5 game as a sample size, he's played over 10 minutes in every single game. I'll just run through it. 10:26, 12:45, 13:50, 13:02, and 11:04. Now, I won't get into how many shifts he's had, because he's had quite a few in the high teens every single game. Now, there's only one column where there's a number in it, okay? And that goes for goals, assists, points, plus, minus, penalty minutes, power play goals, short-handed goals, shots. He has one shot against Boston 2 games ago, and the rest is completely blank. So you're not kidding when you say he doesn't contribute anything. He literally contributes nothing. So, but again, he's not a minus, so he's obviously doing something right to stay in the lineup. And I really just think Quinn is just rewarding this kid for his work ethic. And, you know, it's kind of sad, because, you know, I would like to see what, you know, and you say offensive dies on a stick, which is true, obviously. I would like to see, you know, a full-fledged roster when Panarin and Kako come back, where Howden's not in the picture. Because, you know, we've been, you know, pretty anti-Howden from the beginning, but it really is troubling that this kid can play like this for so long, and there's not even a mumbling of, you know, he's going to sit, or, you know, he might get moved to a taxi squad or situation. It's like, how bad, or how, like, he literally is just slipping under the radar. It's like, he's not on the radar, so he can't even be judged. It's a wild situation with Brett Howden.
And I will say this, that I do understand that there is a bit, and it's been pointed out before by some people, that there might be hypocrisy in that. It's like, you know, Brett Howden's young, he's still developing, he can get better. And, you know, this is true. I'm not trying to say he's a Tanner Glass level player, but I just think the sample size is, we're getting close now. You should have seen at least a flash of something. And I, you know, when he first came in his rookie year, I actually thought I saw those flashes a lot, just because he, you know, he does things quickly, and, you know, Quinn says he plays honest and all this other stuff. But it's just, yeah, I just think I haven't seen an NHL level IQ or awareness out of him to make things happen. I think we were talking about a few podcasts ago how Blackwell is not, you know, he's a good skater, but, and he's quick on the puck, and he's got a good motor. You know, he's kind of in the mold of the bottom six guy, but I think what makes him a little bit more valuable is that he can settle plays down, and he can spot guys, and he can make the passes. You know, he's just got just enough skill to do these things, but he's got his awareness and his hockey IQ is enough that it allows him to put himself in these spots and to slow things down and to not feel like his time and space is quickly dwindling. Well, like you see with a Howden or a DiGiuseppe or guys who just kind of rush on the puck really quick and then try to like whip it around or throw it way too hard at the first open stick they see of a teammate, you know? So I just don't see that out of him. So, and yeah, it might be a little hypocritical of me, especially if I'm going to say, oh, you have to be patient with these kids. And Brett Howden, I forget how old he is. Was he 22? Right.
Yeah, he's young, but still, there's a difference between waiting for the kids, and he's not one of the kids. Like, he's not in the discussion of guys I think we need to wait on. Like, I call me crazy, but if we cut Howden tomorrow, I don't know how many teams are going to be rushing to sign him. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, he's still got a lot to show. He's still got a lot to prove. Let's take a chance on him. I don't know if, like, there's anybody in the world right now, you know, that'd be willing to take that chance for Brett Howden. I don't think he's got that aura. I don't think he's got that reputation. I mean, he's just a guy that works hard, and I don't think he says anything. I bet you they don't even know he, like, is that. I bet you he takes, like, an Uber to, like, road game, like, against the Devils. But just so under the radar that he kind of just walks into the locker room with the team, like, comes out of, like, the, you know, like, the private entrance. He kind of just slips in and walks in with the guys. I mean, that's how, like, under the radar he is. But I do want to say, I was looking at Jeff Skinner's stats. 17 games played. Brett Howden has more assists. Brett Howden has 2 assists on the season. Jeff Skinner has 1 assist for 1 point, and he's a -4 for the entire season.
Yeah, it's not gone well for any of the Devils. Taylor Hall, Jeff Skinner. I haven't seen how Eric Staal is doing. But yeah, I assume it's not good, and Jack Eichel's not having a good season. But you know, there's, for all these guys, for that team is clearly, I think they're just resigned to the fact that they got off to a bad start again, and it's so ingrained in that team, so they're just like, oh, of course it's another lost season. Well, hopefully they'll trade me. You know, they all just gave up at once, and it was like, you know, and the guys who do try are the guys who know they're not going to go anywhere else. Like, Okposo stinks, but I noticed him trying hard. He sucks. Like, no offense to him. Sorry, Kyle. But I at least noticed him trying to make things happen, even though he doesn't have skill. Whereas, well, like, some of these guys, I'm just like, a lot of perimeter plays, I didn't really ever feel the Rangers were in danger, despite the fact that Buffalo had more shots. You know, whereas the Bruins, every time the puck went to the point, I'm like, oh my, this is going to end up in the back of our net. You know what I mean? Right. But every time they'd whip it to the point, it just didn't sense it was an issue. And a lot of standing around, they like to play. Kruger likes to play a much more, you know, defensive, apparently low event style. And it's one thing if you're the Islanders where you're going to be absolutely impeccable, but when it's time to turn that switch on, you're going to have guys that are going to commit to doing it. But Buffalo doesn't have it at all. It's just, he's trying to play a style where you don't really have to move your feet, and it just doesn't, it's not going to work, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, looking at Okposo though, I feel bad for the kid because, you know, obviously he had some success with the Islanders and then goes to Buffalo. And I feel like his brain is just mush right now. So I'm not going to judge Okposo on, you know, pretty much anything he's done up in Buffalo because, you know, he got knocked out.
He's had multiple injuries and concussions.
Yeah, he probably should not be playing in the NHL.
He's 32 years old. We forget that. He's an old guy.
Yeah. You know, well,
by NHL standards, I should say. And he plays he's played a very physical style, and it's taken his toll, and he's cooked. There are just some players that just play that style, and their shelf life is much shorter, and he's one of them. It's like when he first came in, I just, you know, he was definitely playing with Tavares, obviously helps. But at the same time is that, you know, he played a great power forward, power winger style. And yeah, and it was effective, but he was never the most fleet of foot guy. So now he's like, it looks like he's skating in molasses. And yeah, he's
just
had
to. You want to hear a funny story with Okposo?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. So I remember back in, like, man, I forget which Olympics it was, but they were talking about Team USA. And Okposo was one of those guys at the time that is like, is he on a team? Is he not on a team? Like, we had some pretty good, I believe he plays the right wing. And whatever the position was, we had a ton of depth in it. And I was like, I just don't see him playing on the Olympic team. And, you know, I tweeted something out, and what is his name? E from Entourage, Connolly. What's his first name?
He's a big Islander fan.
Yes. Yeah, huge Islander fan, right? Inboxes me, and he says, like, you don't know what the F you're talking about. You know, trust me, like, he should be on the Olympic team. And I was like, you know, I couldn't inbox him back because he's, like, verified. So if someone isn't verified, like me, I can't message him back. But he ended up messaging me back, like, an hour later. And he goes, oh, and by the way, I do know what I'm talking about. Like, just to get at me. All I said was, listen, I feel like we're too deep in that position for him to make it. And like you said, he's not the best skater in the world. And when you open up on Olympic ice, it's you open the game up. Players like him are more likely going to be exposed than for him to excel, you know?
Yeah.
Especially the power forward, you know, that he was when he was playing for the Islanders. Because that was a totally different Okposo than what we've seen.
He was playing with John Tavares. It definitely goosed his numbers. So, but he was a good middle six guy for before injuries took his toll. And again, he's 32 years old. So by the time he got to Buffalo, and he was in, you know, I think his rookie year with the Islanders was like 07, 08, right? So, you know, he finally goes to Buffalo in 2016. So, basically spent his first he'd already played a decade with the Islanders, and it's just injuries and other things have taken its toll, and he's just not the same guy, you know. But again, you hope you know, it's a results-based business, and I think he said that after the post game the other night, so you feel for him. But again, I as someone who doesn't watch a lot of him because I'm not a Sabres fan, I at least thought he was trying to do things and trying to put in effort. It wasn't the best way to apply effort, but at the same time, it was more effort than I saw out of Taylor Hall, who was legit a ghost and would fall down every 3 seconds. And same thing with Skinner. It's just not going for him. But, you know, it's weird because the skating has always, he's always been such a phenomenal skater. And it's just, where is, I don't know if it's the style of hockey is clearly not conducive to the success of individual players. I think Eichel got carte blanche a little bit to do what he wanted last year. You know, everyone else got to play jazz amongst everyone else doing, you know, playing classical on that team. And yeah, so he was able to bust out. But yeah, it's just the style of hockey they play is low event and it's boring. And I just don't, yeah, I just, I can't see Ralph Kruger being long for the Buffalo Sabres. So, but this is literally a waking nightmare for them that Buffalo Sabres fans are just reliving over and over. So I don't see any, I mean, I know we're going to talk about it anyway, but I just don't see any other end where Jack Eichel is gone. He cannot stay there.
He's my brother, Mike.
He's my brother, Matt.
And we are the Brothers of Discussion, hosting Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas about your Detroit Red Wings finally have a hope.
In a season mired in tragedy and despair, we are here to be your audible Earl Grey, to bring joy, placidity, and perspective to one of the roughest eras in Red Wing history. Ah! We honor the past, find the positives in the present. I swear they're there. And paint the picture of what's to come in the Winged Wheels future. Paul Woods here on the radio broadcast, your Detroit Red Wings, and I'm going to play games like Who's That?
Who's That? Come on. Pokemon.
Where Matt has to try and guess quotes pulled right out of context for Jeff Blashaw, and we got to figure out who that Red Wing is.
Every episode, we put ourselves in the legendary shoes of Steve Yzerman and play Be the GM, finding ways to ice a competitive team while accumulating assets for the franchise's future. We also shoot the breeze. Some of the great local and national voices in Red Wings hockey, including Ken Kell and Keith Gave, and Greg Wyshynski and Ryan Lambert.
Check us out every Monday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts.
And check us out live every Wednesday and Sunday for Red Wings reactions and live conversations with you on our YouTube channel, The Brothers of Discussion.
Well, let's get into that a little bit, because I think it's like a total complete consensus that, you know, Jack Eichel will be leaving Buffalo at some point this season. Yeah. Where he goes, I still feel like that is so up in the air that it's stupid to even talk about, you know, like a definite spot for him, right? You know, obviously the Rangers are favored. You have, you know, the Kings. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the fucking Tampa Bay Lightning end up squeezing him onto their roster because I feel like they just are immune to any cap issues and, you know, they can just pretty much bring in anybody. But, you know, the biggest question that I have, and we can get into what a Jack Eichel trade would kind of look like, but before we get into that, you know, the overall big picture, right? Because I have his career stats up here, right? Is Jack Eichel actually worth it? Like, his career high is 82 points in 2018-2019. He's never played a full 82-game season. He played his rookie season, plays 81 games, and that's the most. And, you know, looking at his stats, aren't, like, number one center, you know, I'm going to put up a million points. I know, you know, if you look around the league, we're so spoiled with, you know, what McDavid and Draisaitl will do, and, you know, we want to see the, you know, the triple digits there. But, you know, is Jack Eichel worth it? Like, is he worth what he's going to pull in the market?
I definitely know that the injuries are a concern. A part of me thinks so. I think his, like you said, he's had those injuries. Were they both high ankle sprains? Or
yeah,
I know one was. I forget the other ones.
Well,
were they on opposite legs? I mean, based on how he had 78 points in 68 games last year, he had 82 the year before, so at least it looks like he was trending up 56, 57, 64, 82. You know, if you prorate a full season for him, he's a 90-point player.
Right.
You know, so I think so, but I definitely understand. I also think that he really hasn't been given much help. 'Cause, you know, yes, true, he was lucky enough to... He really helped goose Skinner's stats, and as we see that maybe you know they're ruining the fact that that was more Eichel, you know, carrying him than it was Skinner being worthy of that contract. You know, same thing with Victor Olofsson. He's got a guy with a killer shot, but as maybe the rest of his game isn't. But you know, when you have a guy who can facilitate the puck like Jack, I think it works good. But trust me, I do have concerns. I'm like, well, for better or worse, this is a guy who already has a reputation as injury prone, one, two, a coach killer, two. Is he going to be a malcontent if things aren't going the right way? I'm not really sure. So I'd be lying if there was a part of me that, despite the allure of having Jack Eichel, is not like, is it worth it to give up, you know, assets, which no matter what even the best package the Rangers give up for Eichel will sting. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like even in the, you know, obviously we there's so much talk about it. Like, oh, well, they're going to have to start with Lafreniere and Cox. I got news flash for anyone like there. And I can't believe I'm going to say this. Who was it on? I forget which hockey pundit was talking about it. They're like, how is it? You know, they're like, this is not too dissimilar from the Dubois trade. But unfortunately, there's no Patrick Laine out there. There's no one-for-one swap here to be had. So you're going to have to give up, obviously, a package. But if you think, like, oh, it's like, well, the Rangers are going to have to give up Kako or Lafreniere or else they'll get Byfield or Trevor Zegras. That's not happening. You know? Anaheim Ducks are rebuilding. They're not getting Eichel. They're trying to rebuild with Drysdale and Zegras and these guys. Same thing with LA. They're not giving up Quinton Byfield.
Yeah,
for Jack Eichel, like, and the Rangers aren't going to give up Kako or Lafreniere. The thing is, the Rangers though could offer a package that doesn't include those two. That's probably better than most teams can match. They might say, "All right, Hedl, Buchnevich, Kravtsov, a first, and Zach Jones." That hurts. I like all those players, and they're not. That's not nothing to sniff at. Hedl and Buchnevich are. You know, Buchnevich is a first line, you know, probably a top six player, a good player, either a really good second liner or a guy who can ride shotgun on your first line. Hedl is a blossoming, you know, will eventually probably be a good 2C. Obviously, there's no 1C in that, but at the same time, it's like that's what it's going to be because you're not, you know, it's like they're just like, oh, then this other team will just pony up their best prospects for him. I don't think so. I don't think that's how that works. And, but you know, maybe there'll be egg on my face, but I just don't think so.
Yeah, my question is why, though? Like, why? I mean, why does anyone? why does Buffalo hold the card? Like, why are they in control of this? Like, here's the thing. Like, Eichel wants out. Like, he's done in Buffalo. He's checked out. You know, obviously, you know, what the coach said, he's got injury, and he's saying, you know, he wasn't injured. Like, you know, that chaos. Like, there's clearly, like, dysfunction happening within that locker room. And, you know, it seems to be surrounding Eichel because he is the captain of the Buffalo Sabres, and he is the player that kind of has expressed his concerns and, you know, has said without saying, you know, I want out, and I want out now. And, you know, but the thing is, though, like, is Buffalo really going to get the haul, you know, pun intended, that they think they deserve? Because I don't think so. I think, you know, what's the rush for the New York Rangers to bring in Jack Eichel? What's the rush of the LA Kings to bring him in? Neither of those teams are a Jack Eichel, you know, player away from, you know, winning a Stanley Cup. In my eyes, it's like not worth, you know, throwing all these, you know, assets at them and being like, can we have him, Jack, now? Can we have him now? How about now? If we had this, can we have him now? Because, you know, again, just if you just be patient and wait, the situation's not going to get any better in Buffalo. You know, they're just going to fall further and further behind in the standings. And it's just, you know, I feel like Eichel's just, he's not going to all of a sudden walk into the locker room, you know, feeling great and being like, you know what, I need to go out as a leader and, you know, and do the right things. I feel like that he's already checked out. So
yeah, it looks like he's checked out.
Right. So like, you know,
and
so like realistically, we see these big packages. Like, Andy, am I crazy for thinking, I don't think Buffalo's going to get that for him?
No, listen. And when I say that, what I mean to say is I don't think that he will get even a package that size. I mean, he'll get something. There will be, listen, a player like
I think it'll be draft pick. It'll be draft pick heavy. I think
there will, you know, if you're trading Eichel, you have to start over. You have to say, all right, Darlene, Cousins, Jack Quinn, even though it's the dumbest fucking thing that the Sabres could have done. Jesus, Kevin Adams, an idiot. like this is who we're building around, you know, because Taylor Hall's going to be gone. He's not staying.
Right.
Would you stay?
No. Would you?
Yeah, Eric Staal is. Yeah, it's like they're rebuilt. If you trade Eichel, you're rebuilding. You are in the rebuild is on. So you're going to want young. You're going to try to get as many young assets that are close, age appropriate. You know what I mean? So, right. And that's the thing. Yeah, a bidding war will start, but at the same time, it's not going to get to the crazy heights because where everyone's going to say that I'm out is. They're going to ask for Trevor Zegras from Anaheim. And they're going to be like, we're out. Maybe they throw in Drysdale. Maybe. But they're not giving up Zegras. Like, he's going to be their, hopefully be their, you know, number one, either winger or center of the future. So they're not doing that. LA might, they might offer up Turcotte. Maybe. But they're not offering up Byfield, you know, and that's what they're going to ask for Eichel. And they're going to be like, not a chance. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're, technically, even though it's great that LA's surprise has been good this year, that they don't see that they're not going to undo all the great young players they have just to, you know what I mean? So, yeah, there'll be a bidding war, but at the end, it'll be like who can throw in, you know, who's first combined with, you know, not even throw ins, just promising young, but not ultimately like cream of the crop young guys. So yeah, it would hurt if the Rangers are like, all right, here we go, Hedl, Kraftsoff, and a first. Like, that stings, man, but it's not a crazy absorbent package. You know, you get two really promising young players that could potentially be, you know, and hell, they might even throw in a Zach Jones. So no, you know, no Buchnevich. So just Hedl, Kraftsoff first, and maybe a lesser, not a lesser, but like, you know, one of the Rangers' other D prospects. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not a huge haul, but it's a good one. There's quantity. It helps set them up better down the line, Buffalo. And yeah, the Rangers are hurts, but it's not ultimately going to make or break or gut the team because you get Eichel and you're only really losing, you know, you replace Hedl with Eichel. And yeah, Kraftsoff, unfortunately, maybe never made it over or only played a few games or whatever, which sucks. But, you know.
Well, I have a question for you because, you know, I threw this in the hockey pod podcast network Slack, and you know, it was kind of, you know, funny hearing everyone discuss, you know, a New York Rangers trade with Buffalo, for Eichel, even though, you know, me and you kind of hinted and winked at that, you know, flirting with that idea for a while now, and no one seemed to truly bite. And now it's just like such a reality that people are like, so what are you guys looking to trade for Eichel? Like, it's just so funny how like, yep, you know, he's ready to leave. It's like, it's so clear across the board, across the league. But you know, I wanted to ask you too. And I said this, you know, if the Rangers were able to throw in a Chris Kreider and a Trouba and get that contract off our books, would you be willing to depart with a Kako?
Ooh.
Because I think Lafreniere is untouchable. Like, if you told me right now one of those two would be off the Rangers roster with the Eichel trade, it would be Kako, no?
Yeah, obviously. And it's a shame because we're starting to see the glimmers of what a monster Kako can become. So that would definitely hurt. But if you could use it to remove a regrettable contract, I mean, that might be the only reason I would do it, and it would still really suck. But, that would hurt, but maybe. But
could you imagine not having the Trouba contract, though?
My nightmare is they do that, and then something happens, like a weird CBA happens, and everyone gets compliance buyouts, like, again the next summer. Like, that's right. My nightmare.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it would be nice to not have that dream of contract, you know. It's really tough because it's like,
although playoff Trouba could be good, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. With Keandre, it's kind of settled him down. He's still overpaid, but you know, I can't say that Trouba. You know, he was playing okay. He'll never be worth the money they gave him. But you know, I think if he was making $6 million playing like how he was playing, I'd be like, oh, okay, I get it.
Right.
I guess sort of. He's nasty and physical, and in the playoffs he steps up. So, but yeah, it would hurt. But that's definitely something I could consider because it's the only. Yeah, it would definitely free up some things, and who knows, maybe the Rangers could, because the Rangers are going to have a lot of cap space, free cap space, after this season. So, you have to wonder what other. What things Jeff has his eye set on. Obviously, it'll make it easier to absorb Eichel's contract, obviously. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I don't know what positions they're looking to bolster. Obviously, the middle still remains, or at least they want to get some good. Their bottom six still needs a little bit of a remodel, unless they're planning to have so much talent, everyone just kind of gets bumped down a line, and then it looks really good by comparison. You know what I mean?
But, yeah. Another thing too, speaking of the bottom six is, I heard a little interview with Colin Blackwell today, you know, just like discussing, you know, his career. Obviously he's an older player. He's kind of been around the block a little bit in terms of, you know, just, you know, inconsistency. And this is obviously has been his, you know, breakout year in terms of being an NHL hockey player. And, you know, here's a kid that I think if you offered him the bare minimum just to play for the New York Rangers, he would take it in a heartbeat, no matter how many points he puts up. I truly mean that. And so, like, there is a perfect example of a kid, you know, Blackwell. You sign him for basically nothing. He's going to give you everything he possibly has. Like, I don't mind if the Rangers committed to players like Blackwell to fill out their bottom six. And, you know, I feel like you can't have enough of those players. And I don't want to give up all these assets for a Jack Eichel when, you know, obviously, you know, given the situation he's had in Buffalo, right? You know, I kind of don't want him, like, I don't want that player with that type of attitude coming to the Rangers when I kind of want to build around, you know, players, you know, that we've drafted that are going to have the right attitude, that seem to want to be a part of the process, because, you know, the Rangers are still, you know, an ongoing process and, you know, and rebuilding. You know, is Eichel gonna, you know, accept that? I mean, he might accept it for 1 year knowing he's just, oh, finally out of, you know, Buffalo. But, you know, if the Rangers have another down year next year, you know, is he gonna start to question, you know, his career again?
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing, is that you've watched the Rangers, how they've conducted themselves since the letter and slowly accruing all this talent. You know, I think the unfortunate thing is that the Rangers have so much young talent, there won't be enough time to audition everyone, to give everyone a fair shake. So sometimes it's like better to just
go with that.
Yeah, just kind of like rip the Band-Aid off and make, you know, for better or worse, you know, you hope right. It doesn't end up where it's like a, not that he's like a great player, but like a Ryan Graves, and you're like, oh, there, you know, there was probably something more there. And if the Rangers could do it over again, maybe, you know, he's playing instead of Trouba. Although at the same time, playing with a Cale Makar makes you look much better than you are. Although, does Makar play with Girard now? I don't even know. I don't watch enough Colorado. I don't know. But yeah, I do think the Rangers have such an intriguing mix of talent. It's just, I think, in terms of, you know, how long there's, I do think there is, they have a little bit of, they can control a little bit of their destiny and when they're ready to compete based on, you know, their commitment to what talent and what age brackets. But they have to really make sure they're locked into that the whole time, because it's like, you can wait for all these young players they have now, and even the guys waiting in their system for another 2 seasons to like kind of get their feet wet and figure things out. Or you can just, you know, kind of roll with the more advanced neophytes and your Kakos and your Lafreniers and your your young players who are ready to step in almost immediately and then go from there. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's hard for me to envision, as you know, especially as a Rangers fan, just you see how some of these guys are playing. You know, we haven't even seen Nils Lundqvist in the NHL yet. We, you know, Kravtsov is the playoff start today, and he's picks up right where he left off as like a playoff performer, and he scores a beautiful goal, and also has like a highlight reel between the legs, like pick off the boards. And you know, I want to, if he's going to play like this in the NHL playoffs, like I want to see that, you know. So it's really hard to envision, you know, A, dismantling this team for an Eichel, and B, not giving some of their homegrown talents, or even a guy like Blackwell is not homegrown, but is like, you know, wants to assert himself for that slot, to see him be able to cement a spot for himself on this team.
You know, it's crazy, Andy. I have two teams that I root for that have maybe a franchise-altering piece lying right in front of them. And both of my teams have all these assets, but I feel like all the assets are going to end up disappearing to get these players, and it's only going to be for, you know, it's going to be a complete letdown when this player gets here. And that's what I'm worrying about. I have the New York Jets, obviously, with Watson being dangled out there, and the Jets having everything that the Texans could possibly want in return if they had to give up Watson. And I just feel like he's going to get here, and we're not going to have any single supporting cast for him, and it's going to be a complete failure. And then I got the New York Rangers, who, you know, they have multiple draft picks. They have, you know, all this youth. They have, you know, a tremendous farm system. Maybe top two in the NHL. And here we are, the carrot, the Watson out there is Jack Eichel, and he's going to come here, and we're going to give up everything for him, and, you know, it's not going to amount to anything. That's what I'm worried. And no, I know I'm just being pessimistic and harping on this thing, but I think as of right now, Andy, I am team no Jack Eichel.
Wow. I definitely understand that, because it's like, you know, it's one of those things that even if you feel like you're going to force your way out, you almost want to see some more, like, an FU from Jack, and just in terms of his performance on the ice. And, you know, when you have a guy who checks out, although, listen, Ryan O'Reilly kind of checked out. He said his hockey joy was drained from his body, and he gets traded, and he immediately wins the Stanley Cup. So maybe it's, yeah. So I don't know, man. And while you were saying this, something popped up on my timeline. And it was a quote from Val. I missed this. Apparently, Valiquette on the Rangers postgame absolutely roasted the Sabres. Like, he said, I think the Buffalo Sabres should be wearing ski masks on the 5th and the 30th of every month. Because there's no way you can have that much star power and then not have any pushback. I mean, it looks like they've quit on their season. He then said, the Rangers totally packed it in the third period, but did Buffalo even make an effort to get to high danger areas? I think they're very easy to play against. I think that's a dreadful hockey team. They should be embarrassed. Jesus Christ, he went in on them.
Wow.
Oh, man. That's it for him. That's that's pretty salty. That's weird. It's sad to see because Buffalo is one of my favorite cities. Unbelievable people there. Hardworking people. They must have a hard time watching that team play. Oh, man. Jesus. Jeez. I got to find there's a linked video. I'll watch that later. But I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, you hope that doesn't follow. I guess there's a part of me that's worried that that doesn't follow Jack around. You know what I mean? Although, because it looks like he did everything last season, he did everything one person in the world could do to try to put that team on his back, and it literally just could not will it to happen. So you hope the Rangers are different in that it's like one of those things where it's finally, you know, it's like he can be supported and you'll have, he could, I don't know, would he play with Lafreniere? Would he play with Panarin? And that's the other thing. It's like Jack's a guy who likes to have the puck because he's one of the better players on the ice. And whether you play with Lafreniere or you play with Panarin, you know, those are, if who's going to have the puck, who's going to want it? You know, is Eichel is good, but is he Panarin good right now? I don't think so. He's close though, and he will be, he'll probably hit that much sooner and longer, but yeah, I don't know. I guess so. Is Jack Eichel willing to change up how he does things? You know, can he, there's some soft, I've seen Jack kind of have some soft plays, and I don't know if that's because it's just the, like we talked about how like Ryan O'Reilly looks totally lost in Buffalo and then becomes like, you know, a stud 1C just enough to help his team win the Stanley Cup. So I don't know if there's a change of scenery and we just see that same Jack Eichel that looked like he was a world beater last season. I just don't know. So I definitely get your reticence.
Well, the difference between the Ryan O'Reilly situation is that he went to a team where he didn't need to be the leader. That's like true. That's like the one thing, like people just assume that, you know, all right, Ryan O'Reilly goes to St. Louis. He doesn't need to be the man there. He's a complementary piece to the foundation that they already built. Yeah. You know, if Eichel comes to New York Rangers, he is now like him and Panarin are the guys. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, at least he can split it, though, which is good. That's the more true. He could say in Buffalo. It was just him, and he had to answer for everything. And he wouldn't be the captain. It's not like this. He'd come in, and they'd immediately slap the C on him. You know, I think it, and honestly, I think he understands that it's like wherever he goes next, he's most likely the C will be gone. But he'd rather play playoff hockey in his career. He's about to be 25, and he's never even made the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Miller's
so that's what you
Miller's
have.
Getting the C. It's the, I mean,
that's he's my Miller's my, you know, low key pick for it. I would love to see it, but I think Lafreniere gets it eventually. But hell, even Adam Fox,
Lafreniere
would be a guy.
Is too quiet. Fox is a little on the weird side.
I mean, from what I've heard, Lafreniere is a very like, you know, loud on the bench, vocal kid. So apparently, that's what Quinn is saying, and I've seen him hooting and hollering and hugging guys and do all this stuff. So I think it's going to be him eventually, but but at the same time, it's like, you know, like we talked about how Miller is literally just such a, like his confidence is just like his cup runneth over with confidence, and he's got it. And he's just got that, you know, he's got the swagger and he's got the attitude and he's got the nothing really seems to faze him type of thing that might be good. But, you know, both Miller and obviously Lafreniere are still going to have to let their, you know, their cup of coffee's got piping hot. It's got to get a little bit cooler before they, you know, before they're we're anointing them the future captain of the New York Rangers. But yeah, back to Jack. I just don't, you know, I think it's understand that the C comes off and maybe with it, there's not all that pressure when things are, you know, oh no, it's happening again, you know? So I honestly don't know, man, because I do feel the reticence that you do. At the same time, I'm like, is this like a fate thing? Or I don't know. Is this like what the best thing for both parties? It's like he gets to finally be somewhere where he's supported and he doesn't have to do it all himself. And at the same time, it's like, you know, it just kind of matches in better. He's nice. His age falls nicely between the Panarins and the Zibanejads. And, you know, even if those guys take, he'll be, you know, Panarin's age, maybe when Panarin and Mika, if he's still here, or Kreider are finally on the decline, you know what I mean? So, it's tough to know. It's one of those things. It's tough to know if he might get here and he might immediately pull his hammy real bad and that might be it, or like he's just never the same and that would be peak Rangers. So I really don't know. It's scary. But it looks like no matter what, we're going to find out, you know, come right. The summer, because this is definitely a summer move, I think, for Buffalo, if it's going to happen, and, you know, barring some unforeseen circumstance that makes him change his mind.
I am hyping up the New York Rangers summer. You know, I feel like there's going to be so many changes, and I feel like they're going to wait to change everything in the summer. I think they want to see what they have in their youth, and, you know, I'm going to say I don't think the Rangers get Eichel. I'm going to go on a limb and say it. But, you know, obviously to, you know, kind of wrap things up, I know this Eichel conversation is probably not going to be the last time we speak of it. But, you know, we do have two huge games against the Devils, and, you know, we're not going to be doing another podcast until after those games. You know, again, looking at, you know, where the New York Rangers kind of are, and we're kind of just, you know, floating around that middle area, grabbing points just enough to stay relevant in this division. You know, two huge games against the New Jersey Devils, who, after a really hot start and hit COVID and named Nico their captain, they've kind of cooled off. And I know they struggle on special teams. And their power play is, I think, like bottom three in the entire league. You know, but, you know, they're going to pop in at least, you know, three power play goals per game against the Rangers, just to kind of even that percentage out. You know, what can we expect, you know, with the two games against the New Jersey Devils, and where do you think the Rangers, are at the weekend?
Well, so the Rangers haven't beaten the Devils yet this season, correct?
Correct.
So they will get, I think they're going to get one victory over them.
Okay. That, I mean, that goes in line with what you said the last time, but.
Yeah, I know. And I'm now, the beauty is that I feel even more sure about it.
Because we got the win in Buffalo.
Yes, knowing the egg of my face, if they don't get it after this, will be even runnier. But yeah, I mean, I would like 4 points. I'll say this, if anything less than 3 points out of these four games, I will be upset with. If they only split, I'll be mad. I don't care how good of a game they play. I don't care if they're understaffed or undermanned. You know, and this, although, I mean, Blackwood is playing well, but I think if the Rangers are going to do anything to change their fortunes around, it literally has to start right now. They have to get 3 out of their next 4 points, because, you know, yes, the Devils have, I think, like the Rangers, or, you know, their exciting young pieces are coming together, but I still think they're pretty beatable, and they still have some weaknesses that can be exploited. So I hope that happens. The only reason I think the Rangers lost is that I think in the few times they played, I've seen the Devils were the hungrier teams, and the Rangers shot themselves in the foot. So if the Rangers are hungrier and they have Kako back, I don't think they should lose. But they probably will. They'll probably end up either splitting or worse, just going 0-2. But I want 3 points out of these 4 games. I'm going on the record. That's the only thing I'll be happy with. I'll be ecstatic with the full 4 points. And I don't even care if that comes with them having to maybe go to OT both games, or shootout, and give the Devils 2 points in the process. But I, no matter what, I want the Rangers to come away from these next 2 games with 3 points. So that's what I want. That's what I'm trying to will into existence. We'll see if I'm right. I don't know, James, do you have any predictions?
Yeah, I think the Rangers win both of the games for two reasons, two main reasons, right? Number one, I feel like this Eichel talk might bring the locker room together. You know, I feel like, you know, these players aren't dumb. I think they see what's, you know, being said around the league. You know, I'm sure they're privy to more news than we are, and just rumors in general. Hell, I mean, some of them might actually be friends with Jack enough to, you know, be texting back and forth. So, number one, I think that Eichel to the Rangers, knowing it could possibly blow up the entire locker room in terms of people leaving and people coming in, I think it might bring this team together, right? And I think the Rangers are going to hit a pivot point. And this is, you know, part of reason number two is, you know, looking at the standings, right? You have, you know, Pittsburgh and Philly, you know, fighting for that fourth spot, both with 25 points. Then you have Boston with 26, Islanders 28, Washington 28. you know, these teams are machines. They're not stopping. You know, the Rangers have to have their eye on that fourth spot. And, you know, these are the teams that you have to beat. And if I'm the New York Rangers and, you know, I'm in that locker room and, you know, I'm looking at the mock standing, I'm sure that they have, you know, in the locker room, you know, these two games against New Jersey are a pivotal point in this season. And if you don't have 4 points against, you know, if you don't get 4 points against them, right, you might as well, you know, chalk up the season then, because you have to keep pace. You have to keep pace. And, you know, I think it's imperative for the Rangers, you know, just the be relevant, you know, that's all you can ask for. It's just little by little, get points, be relevant, and, you know, live the fight another week. And hopefully you beat the teams that are finally above you instead of below you.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.